Mike Rosso.
Yeah.
I'm a very, very frightened Dwayne.
Yes.
You should be.
This is the October 2009 Alternative Cinema Podcast. And
I'm your color commentator, John.
And we have a special guest, Dwayne Pulkey.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Now, the super diehard fans will know who Dwayne Pulkey is, but most won't. And if I were to describe Dwayne, I would say that Dwayne is a photographer.
Yes, I'm a photographer by trade.
Yes.
But he's a man of many talents.
Man of many talents.
A renaissance man, if you will.
You're not only a still photographer, but you also have a technical background, correct?
A technical background?
Like,
I would say...
You fixed my washer once.
I did, and it was a Maytag, which surprised me because they usually don't break.
No, but, you know, you stick ladies' underwear in them like that, and shit breaks.
Choked it like a chicken.
I know, it was crazy. Who knew?
Insanity.
But, Dwayne, you're also a stand-up comic?
On and off throughout my life.
Would you say you're not a professional stand-up comic?
Well, I don't make my living at it, you know. I mean, like, it's not a definition of a professional, is that they do that and nothing else.
Right. Most noted to fans of alternative cinema behind the scenes is that Dwayne has been on, I don't know, I want to say 80% of our sets.
Probably.
I've been on them. I've been in them.
Yeah, that's right.
I've been around them.
Well.
Yes. You're in Kinky Kong.
Mm-hmm.
You're in... Role. What else are you on?
American Idol.
Sexy American Idol.
Oh, my God. You're like the co-star of Sexy American Idol.
Yeah, I was in Kinky Kong also. It's probably the one that most people recognize. I mean, if you go on the internet and go to some of the independent film blogs like Rotten Tomatoes, there's all kinds of write-ups. People love the stuff that John Fidel and I have done, which is, you know.
Mostly gay stuff, though.
The very gay stuff.
Oh, yeah. Like, what was that? Sexual...
I don't even know the names of these movies, I gotta say.
What's the one where you and John are, like, you know, buddies?
The one where we were, you know, she had the sewing machines and shit.
That was the name of the film, was Sewing Machines and Shit.
Oh, of course.
No, it's Sexy Sewing Machines and
Shit. Well, you have the IMDb.
I do. Oh,
no, it doesn't matter.
I can't, because I can't get in. I'm not a member. I don't
know. Exactly.
You got to do it.
But welcome, Dwayne.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
You're right.
I'm Larry Flint.
My car broke down out front, and I got to wait for it to get fixed, so I might as well.
It's lovely to wheel myself in here, Your Honor.
So, John, you know, we usually give each other a few minutes. John, what's up with you? I'm not, you know, so how you doing, John?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay.
You got stuff on your mind?
I got stuff on my mind. I wrote my stuff down. But the stuff on your mind, you may not want to talk about, so I'm just going to like...
No, because it's all bad.
It is. Ants.
Ants, yeah.
John has an ant problem in his house.
In his abode.
Like a big problem, not like a few ants.
It's tiny, tiny ants, though. So we should clarify that it's not like a fucking structural problem or a disease problem. It's just a nuisance. It's a fucking nuisance. Because we've had construction on our house all fucking summer. So it's like banging and knocking and people looking in windows when you're taking a shit. And finally, that's all done. They painted the house, and now massive amount of ants are just fucking... I mean, the guy put bait down, and I'm telling you, thousands of ants. I've killed so many ants that if you were to empty out a dog carcass, you could fill up that carcass with the dead ant bodies that I've killed.
Oh, what a day. What a day.
We actually have mail. What is it? Is it still called? What's the guy's name that the mailbag is? Sorry, Douglas something.
What was that? Mailbag.
See what Charles Nelson Reilly mailbag?
Mailbag.
Mailbag.
We actually got some letters this month.
Unbelievable.
John and I. I'm talking to Dwayne. John and I were concerned that no one was listening to our podcast.
How dare they?
I mean, we started this in April.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of alternativecinema.com to promote alternative cinema.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And, you know, everyone's doing it, right?
Sure, sure.
So we thought, well, we'll do a podcast.
Because everyone else is doing that. That's your politics.
Let's do it because everybody else is doing it. So I think I'm going to do it.
It's a connection direct from me and John and me to the fans. And I have not had a connection since we did Metal Land Showcase, which was a cable show back in the late 80s.
Yeah, we gave them T-shirts. So
since then, I've been just behind the scenes, just producing these crap movies that we make. I mean that lovingly, of course.
Yes. Lovingly, filled with love.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, sorry, that's AOL. I just got a message. Oh, Mom, it's from your Mike. It's from Mike. It's from your mom.
So I said, because we relaunched the website with news and information and, Facebook. Do you know what the Facebook is?
I've been on the Facebook with the young people, Mike, and I find them that they energize me.
Energize.
I love the young people.
The MySpace?
I've been on the MySpace.
The Facebook?
I'm on the Facebook. I have the 8-tracks. I find it
titillizing.
Titillizing and fornicating.
We find that we found that, DVD sales are, plummeting because it's over. Everything's internet now.
Yep.
So why not, if things are going to plummet, right, and we're not going to be doing big sales.
Soupy
then
sales.
Then why not get on the internet, with this podcast, at least talk to people. And so at least we can figure out.
Okay.
At least we could talk to the people.
You could talk to them.
And now we have responses.
That's great.
The amazing thing is, after you've talked to them, they respond.
The people out there.
There's too many people out there. You look out the window, what do you see, John?
So let me, people.
People.
So let me understand. Dead people.
So let's straighten this out. At least we did the podcast.
Deaf people, actually,
no,
right.
I said deaf people. I think deaf people.
So we did the podcast.
Sorry.
All and now we have letters because of it. You guys are going to spin off into your own show and tell me to go fuck myself.
Yeah, it'll be Dwayne, me, and Paul Vanier. Just sit here and make fucking sound effects all day. I almost made him spit his Dunkin' Donuts
through my nose.
Nice. All right, so let's read a letter.
All right. Okay.
Is that like a double page letter?
This came in on the 14th of awesome. September.
Dear Jenna, my boy. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Just wanted to write to let you guys. I'll start over. Just wanted to write to let you know that people do listen to your podcasts, and that's. They're a lot of fun. And that they're a lot of fun.
Do listen to your podcasts.
And that they're a lot of fun.
Yes. September was a little SFX heavy for my taste.
A lot of farts in there.
It's a whole lot better than most of the crap on the radio these days.
It's crap. It really is crap, isn't it? Most of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
I don't know.
And
shit and wank.
Don't think that the younger generation isn't listening. I'm 22, and I love your podcast.
Oh, awesome.
And all these great old films.
Is that a girl or a guy who wrote that?
This is a guy.
Okay.
We got no letters from women yet. Probably the best thing about the podcast is the link it creates between AHC and the fans. AHC is After Hour Cinema, which is our smut line.
Mm-hmm.
70s.
Smut line.
70s smut.
Hi, you're calling 1-800-SMUTLINE.
Yeah, I wank on my shit. Is that acceptable?
Oh, it's quite acceptable, in fact.
It says right here.
Given as good as you got.
I was kind of lukewarm on the new Sean Costello collection, Honeymoon Suite.
Ah,
you know that, right, John?
Yeah, Costello?
I edited that
Sean
one.
Costello. Oh. Because of the music replacement. However, hearing about how you took the time to record a new track that captures the spirit of the original, which was Doors, Doors.
Yeah, we're not just slapping shit on here.
After playing a cut of the new track, Lick It Woman. Made me really want to see it in the context of the film. Well, that's great.
Good.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, these are handcrafted. These are not just like fucking sliced and diced and shoved out into the marketplace.
Thanks for
noticing.
There's a room. There are Hungarian women back there. They're probably
slaving
away.
And
they're slaving away. Their hands are filthy. Their nails are filthy.
Hey, they get 6 cents an hour. They should be happy.
This listener, his name is John.
This is another letter?
Koska. No, this is the same letter.
Oh, thanks, John.
He wants to know about our new 8mm loop DVD-Rs that are on the site. And I can tell you, John, what that is all about very quickly, because I don't want to take up too much time. We have a new line. It's called Historic Erotica.
Oh.
They're DVD-Rs, which is a very different product than what we carry, because we carry replicated finished discs.
I don't know what DVD-R means.
DVD-Rs are burned on demand.
Oh.
You burn them in the player. So, John, I would like to tell you, not you, John.
What? Huh?
No, not you, John. Who? John Kostka.
John Kostka, yeah. Okay.
So, John.
Kostka? What?
So, huh? Okay.
Best Buy?
John?
What?
No, John Kostka.
Oh,
Kostka.
Sorry.
All right. This is the line called Historic Erotica. It's not AHC. It's not our line. It's a line that Alternative Cinema brought in to carry in their catalog. So I personally have nothing to do with that.
Why not?
Well, this listener mentions the Sean Costello Honeymoon Suite, and I produced that DVD.
Oh, but you didn't produce these new ones.
Yeah, the Sean Costello. I mean, I found the film, did the Telecine. John did the new music for it. Like, we built it together.
Oh, yeah.
John did the post-production on it.
Oh.
Yeah, but this line, the DVD-R line, is not mine.
It's just stuff that someone's given you, and then when people request...
It's a different line that we brought in. Yeah.
It's a whole different approach.
Is it erotic? What is it?
It's 70s adult content.
Oh.
So that was from John...
So lots of Bush.
Kostka, absolutely. And he's...
Lots of Bush. I like the Bush.
George?
And John got a package because he, talked about the Wilhelm screen. Well, the
right.
John. So John, great. Thanks for listening. Next letter is from Noel Anderson.
Noel, how are you?
He says he's really enjoying the podcast.
Great. Well, you should.
He listened to a marathon of them while cartooning.
Wow, awesome.
He's a freelance cartoonist for Hustler, and he's. He answers the question about the Wilhelm scream.
Oh. Nice.
And we sent Noel a package.
What's the answer?
The Wilhelm scream. You don't even have the scream queued up, do you, motherfucker?
No. Who knew?
I want you to get on the motherfucker.
Who knew we were going to talk about Wilhelm?
Wilhelm scream is a sound effect that was first used in distant drums and also was used in Star Wars.
Right. Didn't we say that, though? I thought we gave the whole. I think we were just trying
to get a letter out of somebody.
Oh, well, we got two.
So we got two so far. What's
their prize? That they send a letter, get a prize.
I get to go to their house and scream. like a girl.
Last month we sent them the two new releases of the month on DVD.
Just for sending in a letter.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
that's
answering
awesome.
The question.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, they get the question right. Good job.
And are you really going to go to their house?
Yeah, sure.
Noel.
What are you going to wear?
My pink
Scotch.
Dress.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's hot.
It's so hot.
Noel Anderson, also known as Scotch.
Noel or Noel?
Noel.
He's known as Scotch?
Well, he sent two letters.
Oh, he did. Oh, okay.
This letter.
Is he from Scotland?
Says he loves the podcast and he thinks we should have 42nd Street Pete back on.
Yeah, I agree.
I said, fine. Great. Yeah, Noel. Noel.
Noel. Noel. What is this, fucking Christmas time?
No.
Just hear those little jingling.
Noel.
Noel. Scotch. Noel Scotch.
Noel Scotch.
Noel Scotch.
We're going to send you. We sent his package out. I'm sure he has it. Okay. Then we have a letter from.
Another one.
Doug Walls.
Oh, Doug. Hey, what's up, Doug?
He's probably annoyed that, we don't name the mailbag after him anymore. Is that true? Anyhow, he answers the question about the Wilhelm scream, but he knows he's disqualified, which
right.
We really should tell listeners out there to Noel and to John.
John.
Listen, if you won something, you can't.
Got to wait 6 months.
You got to wait like a while. Yeah, six months.
Months.
And, we're an indie company. Take it easy.
Lighten up.
It's smart, though.
Just lighten up.
How?
Scam
the eye. It'll get there, okay?
People just steal your fucking movies anyway, so what's the big deal?
I don't want to talk about it.
Okay.
I know someone who stole one of your movies. I can't say his name, though, can I?
Internet Douche. Piracy.
You do.
Didn't he take one of your movies?
Who?
Can I say his name? We can edit
it
out.
No, I don't even bother saying his name. The name might just shatter the...
It would shatter everything. It would melt.
But that was different, and I'll tell you why.
How so?
That different because Dwayne was just saying, oh, hey, I know someone that's bootlegging your movies, and he just like mouthed the word. I was like, yeah. And I'm like, oh, man. that was like 6, 7, 8 years ago. That was a time when someone used to actually take the time to bootleg it on a disc or a tape.
Right.
And then they go to sell it. And then it's, you know, kind of easy to track down, easy to find, and it's kind of contained.
Is that what he did? Did he actually – we of course cannot mention his name. But
no.
Did he take – well, you know, did he take – this is someone I knew and I was, you know, worked with for a while. Did he take the actual DVD and then just duplicate it and make another copy?
Yeah, what a dick.
What? And thinking he would never get caught.
Yes.
That's insanity.
That's what they all think. Let that be a lesson to you kids.
So now the newest thing is – and of course, you know, from our last podcast, which is only 4 weeks ago – Every four weeks that goes by, the problem of internet piracy increases. Yeah. I don't know how many times, but
say threefold.
A lot. Every DVD we release is immediately
posted somewhere,
ripped, and posted on the internet for people to just download for free.
So how do you make any money in this business? How do you make a nickel and a dime in this business anymore, Mike?
I don't really know.
You're stealing some other yourself.
You steal other people's movies and sell them.
No.
That's what we should do. There are still some people out there who want the product in their hand and who are honest and good people and not just fucking dicks.
A lot of people like things in their hand.
Internet piracy of content, of movies. If you Google any movie, take a mainstream movie.
Any movie.
And Google has a list. On the first page of that Google, you will see a link to download the movie. As a consumer, as someone who's just on the web, you don't know you're stealing. Because it's a link. It goes to a legitimate page. It says download. You click it. You download it. You play the movie. Do you know what I'm saying? There's no...
Yeah, it's become so pervasive that people don't think of it as stealing. I see your point.
Yeah, it's like it's...
Let's talk about Lars Ulrich and Napster.
You can be the Lars Ulrich. What's his name?
Ulrich. Is it Ulrich?
I can't say that
Ulrich?
Word. Lars a good guy, the drummer from Metallica. You could be that guy for fucking movie content downloading.
But that's all I'm going to say. And I will tell you why that's all I'm going to say. And you may say, well, Mike Razzo. Well, look. I know who the guilty party is who's ripping off my stuff.
Yeah.
The main guilty party. And you know who you are, too.
So fuck you.
And I can tell you what's going to happen. Nothing.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what's going to happen to me, Mike Rosso, the guy who has to go into a film archive to get the film, to inspect the film, to get the rights to the film, to telecine the film, to edit the film,
to
do the score to the film, to put up all the money to put out the DVD, put up all the money to get the original director to do the commentary and or liner notes, to get the film into the market, into your greedy little hands, where you upload it to the web, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. Nothing. And when I mean nothing, I mean that's it. I'm done.
Yeah, what can you fucking do?
I'm not going into the vault anymore, and I'm not spending my hard-earned cash, you know, and I'm not talking about, you know, a dollar or 50 cent. I'm talking about like $10,000, $15,000 per project of my money to bring it to you so you could see Come and Be Purified, a 1973 Sean Costello film, Lost.
Yeah.
Lost. And the argument is of collectors, well, it's a lost film, people should see it, but yeah.
Yeah, but after,
it's not, you know, not public domain. I'm not dealing with public domain media. This is...
People suck.
So that's it. I have really nothing to say about it. I just shrug my shoulders and, you know, I'm moving on in my life. I'm doing film photography.
Great.
126. 110.
Yeah, great.
And it's like, you know, hey.
Great. Thanks a lot, douchebags. You just canceled Christmas. No more porn movies. See?
And you've upset the baby.
There's a thing on CNBC about the porn industry, and Steve Hirsch, the CEO of Vivid, said, you know what we're going to have to do from now on? We're just going to have our website, and everything we make is going to be free.
Right.
Because they're going to steal it anyway. So all it's going to be in terms of our revenue is advertising for people to watch it for free, because that's what it's going to come down to. No one's going to have to pay for anything.
But Steve Hirsch of Vivid is a much bigger company than me, and he could probably actually get adult products and adult industry behind him to advertise. Like, he could find advertisers. Mm. I can't.
Maybe. Yeah, but I mean, is porn exclusively just the industry advertising? I mean, so many people watch it. I mean, I don't think you'd get, like, you know, like...
Yeah, well, what about, like, there's a lot of pizza places.
Yeah.
It's not my area, number one. I just create the stuff. It's not our model right now.
Oh, you're the creative bohemian beret wearing guy who doesn't get into the mindset of the marketing.
Enough said.
All right, listen.
Well, I think I really watching you say what you just said about going into the vault, putting your hard-earned money. I mean, that's the reality of it. You know, that people are unaware of, that there's actual, you know, blood, sweat, and fucking tears going into this, and a lot of money, and it gets completely fucking washed away by somebody in like one fucking minute, just taking it and ripping it and posting it and making it available to others, so that, you know, you can't recoup any of this and continue doing it to make it financially worthwhile to keep doing it.
It's completely out of control.
Yeah.
Okay, it's as simple as that. And it's not even like vintage smut.
No, it's everything.
Even our mainstream smut, soft, corporate Bat Babe. You see that, Dwayne?
No, I didn't see Bat Babe.
Okay, that'll be your door prize today.
Oh, isn't there a coding? I mean, I know very little about, you know, the ins and outs of security on the internet. Isn't there a coding thing that you do when you put something up there that prevents somebody from ripping it and reposting it elsewhere?
Yes, Macrovision. Mm-hmm. And some of our discs have Macrovision, some don't, but any genius or junior genius, those guys...
Yeah, they're smart. They know there's workarounds. Smart. I mean, they know to go to websites where there are complete workarounds for every fucking piece of software. Everything.
And as soon as one person posts it, then it's...
Yeah, it's done.
That's it. It's done.
Yeah, because the community is pretty small.
Joe Kolbeck! Creator of Uncle Farts.
Uncle Farts.
Amazing.
Hey, Uncle Farts! I've looked everywhere, and I can't find my Shrek 2 boogie board. Well, then it's quite obvious to me that we got ourselves a mystery. Looks like I'm gonna have to do some hardcore sleuthing.
His friends, he came in and he's like, oh, yeah, my friend saw Bat Babe. And then I'm like looking at him. And he's just looking at me back. He's like, oh, you know, people just Google it, watch it for free, and we're fucked. So essentially, you know, from this angle of things, I mean, as a producer, as a movie maker, I'm shrugging my shoulders right now.
Can't you?
I just don't know what to say, except, you know.
Can't you, like, put some kind of, like, magic in there that makes people blind if they watch it?
Ho, 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 it's magic.
There are all sorts of things you can do. Like, you could.
Never believe. If you give them a quick short, sharp shock, they don't do it again. Dig it? I mean, he got off light because I could have given him a flash, you know, I only hit him once.
It's like, I don't have the time for it. I'm not interested. I tell you what I am interested in.
What's that, Mike?
Film photography.
Okay, I'm going to go take a nap now.
I was going to take a nap. Well, I called Dwayne up because I was very excited about film photography. And he's one of the few people I know that shoots film photography. Oh, no, you don't, do you?
I do. I still actively shoot film. I do both.
I do, too.
Yes, John does.
Because you give me shitloads of film.
That's right. I said, Dwayne, why don't we have a film photography podcast where we could talk in detail about 126 film, 110 film, 35 millimeter film, 120 film, 220 film. Was there 625 film?
Are you kidding me?
Brownie used to have the what? 620 film?
Is it 625? There's 620
film, 645 film. John's like, what?
I don't even know what you guys are talking about.
But so I thought we'd have Dwayne on this podcast, so then we'd spin off into our own podcast. Like Laverne and Shirley did on Happy Days.
That's right. Or Joni and Chachi.
Yes.
Joni loves Chachi. And did she really love him?
No. She was no just fucking a way. Hoe. She didn't love him like I loved him.
You did, didn't you?
I did.
I felt that.
At least she's not sleeping with her dad like Mackenzie Phillips.
Yeah, that was
is
awesome.
Is that really a surprise?
No, it's not. It really isn't.
Shocking.
I think if you walked in on that, you'd probably vomit. John Phillips having sex with his daughter.
Papa John.
Papa John, fucking baby John.
It's a big trough of white powder next to the bed. You know,
it's just terrible.
It's terrible.
Two ugly people.
All the leaves are brown.
Ooh.
And pass the blow.
Oh, yeah. I'm coming.
He comes friggin' cocaine dust.
So I thought we. Well, here, this is a good question.
Whoa, it's dusty in here.
Did Does anyone know, for anyone who knows, let me know if this is a good question for a free giveaway this month.
All right.
Can someone write to us and tell us all the spinoff shows from Happy Days?
Whoa. All of them.
Yeah. Were there more than just one or two?
I think that Carmine had his own show, but I could be totally wrong.
I think Al had his own show too, right?
Yeah, you guys got to tell me out there. Do you know how many spinoffs there were from Happy Days? And we're giving away this month's new releases, which would be the Love Statue.
Love Statue!
And Skin in the 70s.
Skin in the 70s.
Skin in the 70s!
Skin in the 70s! Love Statue!
So, you know, I don't have much else to do because I'm not going to produce anything anymore because people just steal. So I'm going to be selfish and just do my own thing, my own fucking thing, my own film photography.
So there really isn't enough of a market of people that just actually want, you know, the jewel case and a little book inside.
I don't think so. Dwayne, you are a veteran of our sets. Am I right or am I wrong? There were times where we had like 5 films in production at one time.
Oh, it was insane.
Insane, right?
And they were not, for the types of movies that they were not, you know, thrown together small budget things. I mean, there were sometimes like you look at the 50 people on the set. Gladiator, there were like, you know, people there exclusively doing wardrobe, you know, and
Makeup. Department.
There were
film department.
Exactly.
Film.
They were not, you know, Hollywood production, but they were certainly some of the biggest things I've seen in this genre. They were, you know, you'd go on a set, it'd be there all day, there'd be 75 people there.
I'm guilty of being foolish, and I'll tell you why. Because I took everything I had, and I always put it into the next film. I'm not a selfish man. I am a sharing, caring individual.
Listen
to you. Violins.
Yeah, really.
Well, we got them. I would just roll it into another film. And it's like, I think from a community, from a filmmaking community, from a sharing perspective.
Memory.
So I think that the model moving forward, if we actually stay in business, would be like the Radiohead. They released their new album on the web.
And pay as you whatever you want.
And they had like a pay thing, like, hey, send us some money. Because you got to send some money. It's like, how are we going to continue to make movies if, you know, unless this is a plot by people who saw our movies early on and were like, got to get those guys. They just don't want us to make any movies. I mean, if you don't want us to make any movies, then don't buy our stuff. What could I say?
Yeah.
I don't think it comes from that place, though, does it? That people don't
want
you to make movies?
I think people just get their hands on everything, whether they like it or not, and post it.
People just want to see stuff, and really, no one wants to pay for it.
And it's a whole generation of people that have grown up with the internet that are now teenagers, because it's been around that long. They just think stuff on there is for free.
Yeah.
Well, am I being naive by saying that whatever the hot new hit is, and I can tell you that I am not up at all on top 40, but whatever is number one right now, that
X-Men.
What's that called?
X-Men.
That no, like every
Wolverine.
What's that called?
Wolverine. X-Men. X-Men.
Whatever the hot new song is. I mean, this is some hot new song.
Oh, music you're talking about.
That's some 13-year-old girls playing. And
soundtrack to Wolverine.
X-Men.
Soundtrack to X-Men.
X-Men.
Are kids buying it legally on iTunes, or are they just stealing it?
No, they are. A lot of kids that are coming up now that have interfaced with iTunes now.
Okay.
To pay for it.
X-Men.
Private dick. But there's a lot, you know, maybe the generation between ours and that generation are the thieves.
And, you know, I think recording artists now just look at releasing music as the draw to get people to come see them.
Yeah.
That's how they make their money now. I mean, if you look at the old days, they used to say, oh, they're touring to support their album. Nobody says that anymore because, you know, they're not. They're releasing music, so people will want to go see them. That's how they make their money.
Right.
You don't think that musicians make their money on their tour?
Oh, they sure do.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. That's how they make their money. They don't make their money by selling albums anymore.
Oh.
Unless it's their own album, own label.
So, listen, I need my 5 minutes to discuss photography.
Oh, fuck. Okay.
All right, so everyone...
And there's no food here. There's
John,
nothing for me to fucking eat or drink.
Second podcast in a row where he's... last time you're like, I have no water.
There's no water. There's no. You don't provide anything for the
guests.
Where
are the women?
I'm taking
that
both
promised.
You guys out to lunch.
That's later.
What about now? What about my needs as a man now?
I'm going to suck on a battery or something.
Battery acid. That's a rush.
It is.
That is a rush, my friend.
We'll get you going.
Ooh.
Listen, you guys are...
Lead
seeing,
to acid.
Well, I know John is fairly disinterested in my film photography.
I'm not that disinterested.
Okay.
John's a video guy.
No, he's not. He shoots film.
I'm a film and video guy. Film and video.
I turned him on to Panatomic X.
Yep. Did you really?
Yes.
Long since discontinued.
Can
you still find it?
eBay. Guys have it frozen.
No.
Yes.
ASA 32.
Yes, beautiful.
Tighter grain than T-Max 100.
Yes. You see, that's what I mean. That's
whoa.
I don't know that, but Dwayne does know that. That's why he'd be a great co-host on a film photography podcast.
Kodak's rationale for making T-Max 100 is, it's Panatomic X, but ASA 100.
No way.
So they wanted to give you like 2.5 more stops of speed, but it's a completely different animal.
It is, right?
It's a completely different film. You see, T-Max 100 is not sharp. It's high resolution, but it doesn't have that edge sharpness and acutance that, say, like a Tri-X or a Plus-X does. But Panatomic X had that. It had that resolution, and it had that sharpness if you developed it properly.
What about Kodachrome 25?
What about it?
You like it?
Well, like it or not, I loved it.
Do you like it as in the case of the color of Panatomic X? Like, does it have that sharpness?
Well, Panatomic X is black and white, and Kodachrome is color.
Yes, it is. Sharpness-wise, is the tightest thing
out there. Oh, there was never a film that was as sharp as Kodachrome 25. Fujichrome Velvia 50, they touted it as, this is as sharp as Kodachrome, but it wasn't. It's amazing, but it's not Kodachrome.
Kodachrome 64, not as good, in your opinion?
I didn't like the color bias of it. It was a little bit red.
Oh.
A little bit red. And it had different reciprocity character.
Ektar 25?
You know, it's been around a long time, at least 10 years, and they came out.
It's gone. They killed it.
I thought they
rolled it into Ektar 100.
I think they have a 25 again. I read an ad. I think, don't quote me on
maybe
this.
Maybe medium format, not 35 millimeter.
No, it's 35 mil, I think. Huh. I might be mistaken.
Can I play some music under this conversation?
We're going to save this for our
give it
spin-off.
Some bottom.
So I'm a member of the Flickr community. Are you?
It's like what?
Are you a member of the Flickr community?
I'm not as of yet. Okay. I'm on Photo Bucket.
Okay.
Ooh, Bucket.
Photo Bucket. Wanna fuck it?
So I joined the Flickr group. I've been on there about 6-8 months. And there was a group called Old Film Project.
Old Film Project.
old people. Hey, Gramps, got a camera?
Old Film Project.
The Old Film Project, his name is Dan Whitman. He found 400 rolls of Yugoslavian film.
Where the fuck do you find 400 rolls of film?
Yugoslavia. He found 400 rolls of Yugoslavian film that expired in 1977.
Oh, my God.
Black and white, ASA 100.
I bet it's still good.
Well, yeah. Some pictures are posted in there that he shot with this film. It's called EFKE, E-F-K-E.
Oh, yes.
KB, you heard of that?
Same as FOMA.
KB21, black and white film.
Oh, that's the same as the XBYC 5 series.
So,
if you've heard the names EFKE and if you've heard the names FOMA, they're two films both manufactured at Kodak's old plant in, I believe, the Czech Republic or Yugoslavia, one of the two.
Did you know that my children's names are Efki and Foma?
Really?
I have heard of Efki and Foma. They're my fucking kids.
Efki, Foma!
So
one kid is ASA 30. The other one is 100.
It's not even ASA anymore. It's now ISO.
What does that stand for?
International Standards Organization.
So yeah. Dan gave away rolls of film.
Why did he give it away? He's a giver, not a taker.
No, he's a giver, not a taker. He started the group and said, "Hey,
very nice
I'm going to send you 8 rolls of film, each for each person. One,
if you send me a Polaroid of you looking in the mirror with your drawers dropped,
400 people got 8 rolls of film.
No, it's 3,200 rolls.
Yes, that's correct.
Oh, okay.
And the only catch was, well, you could shoot the film based on some themes."
Oh, and that really were pretty lame themes, if you ask me.
And post the pictures in the group.
Okay.
Now, what's great about this is that it's international. So, by the way, I joined. I got in on time. I'm one of the 400.
Oh, so you have the film.
Yes. Remember I told you this is all about me since people started bootlegging my movies.
You know what's great about this conversation?
What?
That it will end.
So, I got 8 rolls of film. And then you go to this group, which is called Old Film Project on Flickr, and it says, you know, roll one, themes. Now, John thinks it's lame, but because it's international and there's people from all over the world involved and people have all different types of cameras, It has to be generic. I mean, they're very generic themes, almost like a film school kind of project, you know, like a high school or college. You go to that black and white class. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, go out and shoot a theme. And the theme was you.
John Fedeli playing the drums.
Hey, and there was so many fucking people at my house.
There's a guy from Australia.
I made a lot of money selling hot dogs, so.
So the first themes are you.
Me?
Not you.
Mm-hmm. You, yourself.
H-U-G-H-U. No. You. You. Y-O-U.
You betcha.
Neighborhood.
Your neighborhood?
Whoops.
The first one is your neighborhood.
And oops.
Whoops.
Oops.
Not UPS.
What?
Whoops.
Oops. Oh, like a mistake.
Whoops. Oh, oops.
Yanking shite. Whoops.
Whoops.
So I have been shooting stills for like a year now just for fun. And I can tell you that this group
whoops
has given me enough structure to actually make a project out of it and go out and do it as mm-hmm. opposed to just not doing jack shit.
You mean it's given you like the impetus to go and
yes.
Whoops.
Yeah, you have to light a fire under your ass sometimes to get yeah. stuff done.
Well, you have so much fucking film in your fridge. Maybe you should do the same thing. But have some cool themes, like maybe bugs eating other bugs or,
you know,
neighbor sex.
Yeah.
Roadkill cool vagabond oh, rape.
Awesome.
Awesome.
Come on. Wouldn't you love to see photos from all over the world about roadkill vagabond rape?
There's a guy and there's a deer and he was just going at it.
I found this deer on the side of the road and it's just.
I fucked it.
So,
ugh, how smelly.
We'll talk about this next month when I actually have some results.
Okay.
From my first two
So let
roles.
Me ask you about this film.
Thank you, yes.
What does it say on the box? Is it a yellow box or a...
Oh, no, it's a...
It says, do not expose. Hazardous. Right biohazard. Did it glow?
I would have brought the box in if it was, you know...
From Yugoslavia.
It says KB... This is 35 mil, right? It
yeah.
says KB21. It's in a blue box.
Green box.
Green box.
Nice printer.
And it's from 76?
Yeah. Expired 77.
Has it been refrigerated the whole time?
I don't... There's no data.
It's been sitting in the... Like a...
In a bunker.
In a glove box of a Serbian tank? We're pretty sure it's okay. There's a little thing that says from the Chernobyl photo store, but...
Chernobyl photo.
Okay, moving right along.
The receipt says Chernobyl photo. We're pretty sure that it's going to be okay.
42nd Street Pete. Do you know 42nd Street Pete?
I do. I love 42nd. I don't love him in a, you know, carnal way, but he's a cool guy.
Well, he's a lot of fun.
42nd Street Pete and Carter Stevens, filmmaker, they were here last week doing a commentary for our upcoming release of Carter's 1980 film called Wicked Schoolgirls.
Ooh.
It's part of a collection called the Avon series.
Is that shot on film or video?
Oh, no. These are shot on film.
Film.
This
okay.
is the notorious Avon films, Wicked Schoolgirls. It's a notorious underground film.
Avon, you mean the door-to-door nope. cosmetic people make porn?
Avon calling.
Avon was a theater in New York. John, you
heard...
Oh,
that's right.
Yeah.
Oh, you probably went when you... Did you go to porn theaters in the 1970s in New York?
I actually did. There was a great one in North Plainfield, New Jersey, and there was a bunch of them on 42nd Street before they turned it into the, you know, Disneyland.
There was yeah. a theater called the Bryant right on 42nd Street. You probably were there. You probably ran into each other.
Probably did.
John, did you ever go to a theater where they had a live sex show on stage?
I certainly did, called Show World.
See?
And the first porn movie I ever watched was... Bellamy with Harry Reams and Krista Linder.
Oh, my wow. God. AlternativeCinema.com. We carry that DVD.
Wow. Do you? She was too beautiful to do porn. I'd never seen a porn movie. I think I was like 19 years old or so. And I said, that woman cannot.
Marie Forsa.
No, her name was Krista Linder.
Okay. She's in it too.
I said, she can't be. This woman is too beautiful to be, you know, having sex on camera. And sure enough, she did Harry Reams.
Yeah.
In a theater.
Bellamy.
No, it can't be happening.
Like, no, she's too beautiful to suck Harry.
You know, you're a kid. You're 19. You know, you don't have the access to porn when you're 10 like you do now. And you have yeah. an idealized view.
You had to actually get in the fucking car and drive
exactly.
and go somewhere to see porn. You couldn't
You could actually be like 19 or 20 and still have an idealized view of women and think like, oh, that yeah. woman's too beautiful to be.
See, there you go.
You know,
look at that.
defaced by Harry Reams or someone named Harry Reams. And then I'm watching this guy, the Harry Reams, you know, just doing stuff to her. And it was kind of. It was simultaneously erotic and disturbing.
Like,
but
no,
oh, yeah.
I wanted to do that.
He's a Harry Reams is a successful real estate agent now.
Yes, in the Salt City.
Salt Lake City. Susquehanna Hat Company.
So they were in to do the commentary for this notorious film, Wicked Schoolgirls, which, you know, this is the last time I'll go in this direction for this podcast that I broke my ass to find, to fucking restore and pay for to get out. And listen to me, you. I have more. I have the Phil Prince collection. I got a bunch of stuff here. And you know what I'm doing with it? Nothing. Until you stop stealing my shit and putting it on the goddamn internet.
Motherfucker.
Do you understand? That's it. I'm not releasing any more fucking shit from the Avon series until you guys stop and you know who you are. Okay, that's it. So they're in the studio. And it was a photo op because right where you guys are sitting was Carter Stevens and 42P. And I shot them on my Canon AE-1. We're still talking about film photography, you know.
I know. Do you see my eyes open? 42nd
Street P.
Oh, I felt like a rapper. 42P in a house.
Using Kodak Porta 160 VC.
Portra, not Porta. Kodak Porta. I'm pretty sure it was Kodak Porta.
It says Porta right there.
I bought it in Newark Photo. It
says Porta, P-O-R-T-A.
Portra. Like portrait.
Porta.
Porta. As in Porta-John. Because it's complete
Porta.
Shit.
I use Kodak Porta-John 200. A little smelly, but it's good. Resolution's nice.
Let me tell you a story behind the film that I shot them with.
Please don't. Do.
This past summer.
We're not mocking the people. I'm a camera geek. I love this stuff. So go on.
This summer, Kodak started a Flickr group called Kodak Expired Film.
Kodak Expired Company?
And they...
How about that?
And they offered 400 people.
It's a bunch of people selling office furniture in a parking lot in Rochester.
They offered 400 people the chance to receive 10 rolls of expired film. And I was one of those too.
You're so lucky.
Really?
How many people altogether?
400. Another 400.
I bet you it was only like 50 that actually got it.
Now, if you put two and two
I'm
together.
I'm so lucky. No, did the chairman of Kodak come to your door personally because he needed the exercise?
They should give you a plaque.
Got Porta.
Porta.
I got...
Portrait's a lovely film. Is it 400 ASA or 160?
160.
Oh.
They have VC, Vibrant Color, and NC, Natural Color.
Or Viet Cong.
Yes.
Or Variable Contrast.
Tasty.
So, hey, I just want to thank Kodak.
Hence the trichotomy of
VC. I mean,
VC.
Even though stuff was expired, it's only expired 1 year. Mm-hmm.
Compared to the fucking 30 years with your fucking Yugoslavian stuff.
So I think that it was kind of nice of them to send that shit out. Don't you think, Dwayne?
Yes, it was very nice of Kodak.
So listen, if you goons, I'm on flickr.com/photos/Michael Rosso, MICHAELRASO.
MOUSE.
Now you may think I'm done talking about film.
Oh no.
You know what? I'll save the rest.
Just when I thought my ass couldn't hurt anymore.
You know what? I have so much to talk about in that. I'm just going to save it.
Yeah, save it for your own show.
Yeah.
Please.
But you know, here's the problem people have with Kodak, and it's justified. They go public and say, oh, we're behind black and white photographers, or we're behind this and that. And then a year later, they just discontinue all these products, and they give people the false impression that they're behind what you're doing, and when in fact...
Yeah, they'll say whatever you want to hear, and then they'll be like, oh, nobody's listening. Fuck them.
And then they give away 10 rolls of film to make everyone better, and it's not going to cut it. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I don't know. What was the rationale for giving away film? To reintroduce it to people so they'll go out and buy more?
To empty out the warehouse so they could put video games in there and a ping pong table.
They sent out the expired films with one sample roll of Ektar 100. They want to introduce you to Ektar 100.
Oh, so maybe they're, you know, it's a PR move to get you to
it's
buy
an awful nice thing to do. If I'm in a store and I see Kodak film versus Fujifilm, I'm probably going to buy the Kodak because they were nice enough to send me the free shit.
Why you not buy Fuji?
But the only other stuff I had to talk about, which it took another hour, but I'll save it, 126 film cartridges.
They were amazing. The Kodak Instamatic. Right here, oh, my God. Look at that.
See that? Now, I take the 126 cartridge and I modify it and put 35 millimeter film in there.
I modify it by taking a digital chip.
You modified that?
The cartridge, not the camera.
Right.
Not this roll. Another roll at home.
Boy, you really.
So that Instamatic.
Really getting into it.
Wow.
Look at that. I have one of these.
Really?
Yeah, it's a Kodak.
It's called an auto instant. What does that mean?
Yeah, Dwayne, take my picture again.
Take my picture. Take my picture.
That's all ready to go.
Look at that.
Mike is naked.
A parallax corrected viewfinder and a flash bulb.
Oh, look at copies that. Of awesome. These photos.
Whoa.
They'll be in the next Avon release.
Avon calling.
What do you actually do to the film cartridge? What do you
I'm
do?
I'm blind. I take the 126 cartridge. Mm-hmm. Now, everyone out there is listening. We can't see it because there's no visuals. But remember your parents used to have these cartridge films, 110, 126? Come on, think hard.
No, I remember.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, I take the cartridge, and I slowly... pry it, and then I take it apart at the seams and lift off the top.
In the dark.
In a film changing bag.
Okay.
And then I take out the 126 film, mm-hmm. throw it away.
I should eat it.
And I take
eat it. Good.
I take a roll of 35
millimeter. It's like an oyster.
Yeah.
And I roll the 35 millimeter and then stick it in and then attach it to the – there's actually a little spool in there. Little, mm-hmm. And then I put the lid back on and I put it in the camera and then I shoot it. And then I take it out in a bag, put it in a black little 35 millimeter film can.
Oh, wow.
And I send it out for processing.
And they don't know the difference in the film. I mean, is the film width of 35 mil the same as that?
Now, wait a minute. This isn't 126. What the fuck is going on here?
You have to get the film developed negs only and tell them not to cut it.
Manager to film processing. Manager to film processing. We have a problem.
Yeah, what's wrong? What?
Well, the guy said, I don't understand what's going on with your film. I try to print it, it just keeps coming out black.
Wait a minute. Whoa. Is it from this Rasso guy?
He's a troublemaker.
Target 1 hour photo. Pete Jacklone. You know Pete?
Of course I know
Psycho
Pete.
Psycho Sisters.
Of course I know Pete.
I went and shot his band.
He's got a band?
Yeah.
Isn't he a little old for a band?
On Kodak Porta 160.
I'm in a band too. Hey, watch it.
Well, you look young.
I do?
You look like about 41.
I used to.
How old are you?
I'm 38.
You are not.
Thank you.
He's not 38.
No. 46.
You look 5 years younger than you are.
Used to be 10. See, I'm getting old.
I bet you could still get young girls if you wanted.
Oh, wouldn't I like to try.
You're married though, right?
Yeah. Dwayne, I brought totally the film married. To Target.
Yes.
And I went back the next day, and like the attendant had like a blank look on their face.
Uh-oh.
And they're like, they told me that their machine, they said the film was ruined.
Why don't you process it yourself? It's only C41 chemistry.
You know what she told me?
What?
I said, well, can I have my negatives back? She said, no, the machine, they're disintegrated.
Get out of here.
Is that possible?
Well, let me ask you this. I've never actually opened up an old cartridge and seen the width of the film. Is it the same width?
No, this is a 35 millimeter Kodak Portra.
Oh, that should not have happened.
Yeah, no.
I thought it was one of your...
Well, that's what you get when you have fucking hillbillies develop your film.
That's what you get when you pronounce Porter instead of Portra when you go in the store.
That's what you get when you fall in love. A guy in the sun and a stick in the sun.
John, let's do some news.
News. All right. Thank God.
Old news.
That's all the film talk?
John, he's really, his eyeballs are rolling into the back of his head.
Dude, I'm like fucking dying.
Can I still stay?
I bet you Doug and John and who's the other person? Noel are also fucking like, oh.
Listen. I want to tell you something. I'm on
Facebook.
Yeah,
you tell me. You tell me.
Three people within the last 2 months have picked up film photography because of my continuous blogging about it.
You're like a Rosa Parks. That's some Seinfeld. I stole it. I lifted that.
So. Well, you know what? God bless.
It's like a Tom Sawyer thing. No, I think it's great. Fence? Huck Finn or Tom Sawyer?
Yeah, but too much of a bad thing is not good. Too much of a...
Today's Tom Sawyer mean cry. You know, a lot of people who are into movies are into still photography because it's film. It's the resonance of film. It's true. And, you know, there is a certain...
Je ne sais quoi.
Yeah, there's a certain, you know, relatability from one to the other.
It's fun.
It is fun. It's tremendously
it's fun. I never enjoy producing a movie on video, ever. I just don't get any enjoyment out of it. It's a shitty medium. You guys are talking – these guys offline in our green room, which has no water and no nothing. We're talking about, the red box and, a lot of our friends, Zach, send us emails telling us how, you know, film's dead.
Film is dead, boy.
And you guys are saying that the video still, HD video, that the, I guess, what do you say, the grayscale? How
well,
are you describing it?
I think that one of the, John would know more about this than I would, but when you look at the really higher end new cameras like the Red series, the one of the thing, the selling points is the high dynamic range, which means the camera and the chip's ability to handle detail from really deep shadows to really, really
to very high contrast.
So, you know,
areas.
You're shooting in the sun, right? And you think, oh, you know, that light reflecting off that chrome and that, you know, that black stuff in the deep shadow, both of those things will be well represented when I look on the mm-hmm. playback, and they're not. I mean, you know. No. Just glaringly
shit's blown out.
Yeah.
John Keating, a guy we used to work with, used to use the phrase nuclear because I would say, oh, that's a little bit hot, don't you think? I'm like, how's that going to translate when we develop the film? He's like, it's going to look fucking nuclear.
And John was telling me he's watched things on
NBC.
Showtime. That are released with that, you know, that glaring error in it.
But like everything else that's fucking crap, it'll soon become the norm and nobody will fucking notice.
I think it is the norm.
It is
because when we started shooting our movies, like those late night Cinemax, Playmate of the Apes, Gladiator, we had no choice.
Yeah.
We could not shoot on video because HBO would not accept it.
Right.
But I would say that their Blair Witch Project and that their 28 Days Later changed everything.
Yeah.
It changed everything.
Yeah, it made it more acceptable for
Absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely.
And then you know what else made it acceptable? Is a lot of like TV shows, like talk shows, daytime talk shows and nighttime talk shows. All the roll-ins had a lot of low-end video on it. So it just became pervasive. Little by little, people got used to it. And, of course, America's Funniest Home Videos.
Yeah.
Old news!
Yeah.
News!
News!
Listen, I have some news here for October.
Is it good news?
I have some sad. You want to talk about good news or sad news?
Let's talk about sad news.
Is
sure?
Is Britney in it?
No. The sad news is...
Who died?
And I don't even know if Dwayne knows about this. The loss of Michael Thomas.
All right.
Oh, my... I did not know that.
You didn't know that?
No.
Michael Thomas passed away.
He was such a... You know, in a moment.
Yes.
Really?
Such a fabulous guy.
Pop Cinema mourns the passing of Michael R. Thomas, veteran makeup artist, talented and versatile performer. Consummate professional, caring and wonderful. There's like not one word I'm saying here that's not true.
No, it's all
caring
true.
And wonderful individual who worked on and appeared in numerous Seduction Cinema and Shockarama films, including, but not limited to, Titanic 2000, Mistress Frankenstein, Playmate of the Apes, Spider Babe, Lord of the G-String, Shockarama, Bite Me, and I can go on and on and on and on. And of course, his career, he was kind enough and giving enough to always work with us, but he had a real career. He was a real deal.
Yep.
He was makeup artist for SNL.
Coneheads.
For many, many years.
Yep.
He worked on Hollywood features, Serpico, Sentinel, Wolfen, Ghostbusters, Fatal Attraction, Wayne's World 2, American Gangsters, I Am Legend. Maybe Sopranos as well.
Yeah.
So this was a amazingly talented guy who I think, as we do, except he actually had a career, and John and I have been wallowing just doing
right.
this.
Could I tell you a quick Michael Thomas story?
Absolutely.
A few years back, this is maybe a couple of months after 9/11, he gave me a phone call and said, I'm working on the TV show Inside Edition with Deborah Norville, and they're doing this funny thing where we're going to put makeup on her, and she's going to look like Cher, and would you like to come in and be the photographer that takes pictures of Cher. Now, I'm not actually taking photographs of her. Mm-hmm. I just have a camera, the motor drive, the sound. And I loved Deborah Norville. I think she was, I had a crush on her for years. So I said, oh, I can finally meet Deborah Norville. So I go into the city, and she's dressed up as Cher, and I'm, you know, taking the faux photographs. Oh. And she says, whatever you do, don't take photographs of me from the waist down because I'm kind of overweight. And I'm thinking, they're not really... photographs, but we're faking it. And I'm looking at Michael Thomas, and he's looking at me like, whoa, okay. Lights on, maybe there's nobody checked in, okay? That's my little story. And we had a really shared a laugh over it, and we got kicked out.
He was a great guy to laugh with.
Unbelievable. We almost got kicked out because we were making so much noise.
He would sit and do routines with the in-between takes. Always a joy. Always just full of love. Never fucking negative at all. Just an awesome dude.
I think he had a great love for the genre.
Oh, absolutely.
Which is why he was so giving Christine as well, his lovely wife Christine. Both of them were on so many of our sets. And, you know, low budget, you know, difficult hours.
Thankless
difficult
shit.
Tasks. I mean, they did the makeup for Playmate of the
right,
Apes.
Right, right.
His Titanic 2000 impersonation of Igor was amazing.
He was so fucking happy that
what was
he
the
could
film
do
he,
that.
What was the film where he was the brain?
Shock-O-Rama.
Shock-O-Rama.
It must have been, it was so late at night, and he was sitting in this uncomfortable position in this device that Brett Piper put together, putting on makeup as this brain, and anybody else would be bitching and moaning about how tired they are. Yep. And in between takes, he would kind of affect this voice as a Jewish comic in the Catskills, and he would go into this shtick, and I'm thinking...
He never stopped.
Never stopped. Never stopped. What did he pass away from?
I should have...
I don't know.
I know he had a bad ticker.
Complications?
I would say that Michael Thomas passed away from some type of complications. He did have some replacements. He called himself the Bionic Man.
Yeah.
He had shoulder replacements. Don't quote me. I think hip replacement. So because of the various medical conditions, I think he was on meds. You know, to keep things... I'm not sure if he had a... Did he have a pacemaker?
I think he did.
I don't know.
I don't know. I don't want to start making stuff
Mistress up. Mistress Frankenstein, he had a scene where he was dancing.
Yeah, the end credits. And yeah. He had just had his operation maybe 2 months before that.
Oh, he couldn't overexert himself.
Exactly. And he was dying. He's sweating.
We did take after take after take, and he never fucking complained. He'd always say, just give me a couple minutes. I'll be right with you.
So you think maybe he had a pacemaker?
I know he did.
Oh.
Did he?
So from what Christine said, his wife, he... came in, he was tired, he went upstairs, went to bed, and passed away.
Well,
60 years old. Mm-hmm. Or 59, he was going to turn 60 in like 3-4 days.
Wow.
And it's just shocking. And it just tells me, you know, for me, and I'm sure, you know, for everyone else here, you know, until someone's gone, you just take everything for granted.
Yep.
You know, of the amount of work and the amazing, what a giving individual.
It was actually just a gift to be with him.
Yes.
Because these shoots were long, arduous, fucking thankless days. Excuse me. And whenever I knew Mike was going to be on the shoot, I knew we're going to breeze through it because at least we could have some fun and we could, you know, get off the topic of how miserable we were and just, you know, go back and forth with comedy routines and jokes. And he had a million of them.
He was really such a super funny guy, too. Like, he's someone you look at and say, you're so much funnier than people.
Than half the people you make up.
That you make, yeah, and who are half your age that are considered stars and are household names. And you have more chops than you can do more voices. You can do more facial expressions. You've got a funnier way about you. And, you know, it's too bad he wasn't, you know, he could have, I don't know, there's something about him that he could have been a star, I think. Like you said, he was funnier than some of the people he made up.
Yeah. And we met Michael how? Through you, John?
Probably through corporate, because I was doing corporate video, and I think we met his wife, and she was unavailable one day to do a corporate shoot, and Michael came in, and we were just getting ready to do Titanic, and he was so funny, I'm like, dude, you got to be in this movie that we're doing.
Right.
So, and he was like, I get to dress up as Igor? Holy shit. He was so fucking happy. And he was great in that movie, too.
Great.
He played the captain and Igor.
There were a lot of lines to memorize that he did, too.
Yeah.
In the woods, in a tent.
Yep.
Oh, Lord of the G-Strings.
That was Lord of the G-Strings.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Lord of the G-Strings. He played the drunken wizard.
And he had this, like, page to memorize, man.
He's great.
He's great in it.
Great. Yeah, that's probably one of his best movies with us.
Yeah, he's pretty good in that Bite Me, too.
Yeah.
A different, very different kind
of
character.
That was like one of the only films I actually got to act with him in.
Yes.
I think we had one scene.
That's a decent film.
Yeah, I like that film a lot.
Well, this rolls right into, you know, the sad news about losing Michael Thomas. Coming up is, of course, Chiller Theater.
Yes.
Which Michael was a fixture at as part of the Saturday night rock and roll show with Kevin Clement's band. And Michael would always do his Bela Lugosi in full get-up, him and Zachary, up on stage. And I don't think he missed a show.
Probably not.
He was also a fixture at a show called Monster Bash, which I've never been to. But Chiller Theater, John and I are very familiar with.
Mm.
I mean, gosh darn it, I was still at Comcast in the 80s when... Kevin started his Chiller Theater.
At Fairleigh Dickinson.
Yeah, Fairleigh Dickinson. Before that, at the Little Theater. and we shot a bunch of shows there.
Yep.
Which I was asked today, well, Mike, you should really, you know, convert those shows so you put them on YouTube.
Who said that?
Paige.
Oh.
You don't, they're good shows.
I don't know. Dude, I haven't seen them in fucking 20, 30 years.
Wasn't there a movie made about the Chiller show called Unconventional?
Yes. That was shot on their 13th anniversary. And to be at Chiller, I was there that year. We go every year as a company. I don't make it out every year. But that 13th, I was there, and it was impossible to miss the fact that they were shooting a movie because there were, like, cameras everywhere. You recall, I guess.
I was there very briefly. I don't think I saw anything going on, but I'll take your word for it. Well, I'm not being argumentative. I just don't remember it. What the fuck was that?
Do you have the website up? If we go to chillertheater.com.
There it is.
Got it.
What are the dates, John?
Dates? Come October on. 30th. October 30th through November 1.
It's the Chiller Theater Toy Model and Film Expo.
Who are the guests at Chiller?
I'm amazed. As I'm looking at all this, it's just fucking killing me. Anne Margaret.
Okay.
Oh.
Crazy. Still Roger Smith, never heard of him. 77 Sunset Strip. Okay. Stephanie Powers.
Yes. Oh, right. Ooh la la.
All right. Patrick Stewart.
Make it show number
I got that.
Stephanie Powers?
Stephanie Powers.
Ooh la la.
Yeah, maybe 70 years ago.
Peter Fonda?
Peter fucking Fonda. First appearance ever.
Peter Fonda. I expect him to be like, you know, like he was an Easy Rider.
That's a good headshot of him, though.
Yeah.
He looks almost like the guy.
Mickey Rooney. His fucking claim to fame in horror is A Night at the Museum in the Twilight Zone.
And let's face it, he fucked Ava Gardner.
Did he?
That's got to be horrific right there. I mean,
she's like 5 feet bigger than him.
No, she's gorgeous, but according to Sinatra, she was that crazy broad.
She's like, I'll fuck a midget. Get Mickey Rooney in here.
I'll fuck a midget.
I'm telling you, I hate Mickey Rooney so much. I would actually go there just to punch him.
Why? I want to be there. Because
he's the kind of guy. He takes all of old Hollywood upon him. When we were in Hollywood, he thinks he's the fucking spokesman for old
Hollywood.
He's
the last one.
Fuck you.
He was huge, though, man.
No, he wasn't. He's like 3.5 feet.
Twilight Zone. He was in that episode. I want to be big. I want to be big.
He's an annoying motherfucker.
And wasn't he a retard in the film, too?
Yeah, he's a retard in life. I hate him.
Do you have any guests on the list you're not going to like cut into?
All right.
Midget retard.
Jim Kelly, Enter the Dragon.
Okay.
First appearance ever.
Great.
Dominic Keating, Star Trek Enterprise. Don't know him. Ally McGraw. What the fuck?
Ally McGraw. Ooh la la.
Yeah. 30 years ago.
Linda Blair. She's ooh la la now.
Is she still cute?
Oh my God. She's beautiful.
Yeah. Is she really?
Yes.
She's so hot.
I saw her on Des Madrugados, which is like the Mexican's SNL. What? Yeah, it's a really cool show. It's like the Mexican Saturday Night Live. It's a sketch show, and everybody speaks Spanish. And she's sitting
except
there,
her.
And she goes, "What am I doing here? Like, my agent really screwed up." And she looked hot. That was like about a year ago.
She is hot. Louise Roby, The Money Pit. Who is she in The Money Pit? That's one of my favorite movies. I don't even fucking know.
We're gonna go through every guest.
Well, okay, let's see. Howard Hessman. Why? WKRP guy. Oh, okay. He's in Halloween too.
Tina Carrera.
John Bauman, Bowser from Sha Na Na.
He's always there, isn't he?
Is
he?
Sha Na Na.
It's ridiculous. Barbara Feldon. I worked on a movie with her. She's very nice. Tia Carrera. Yeah. She just dropped off the fucking face of the earth, huh?
Joan Severance, a supermodel. They're booking supermodels now?
See, I don't know any.
What did she do?
People.
What did Joan Severance do? She in a movie?
Black Scorpion, Wise Guy, and Playboy.
She's like a hot model from the 80s.
Jake Busey. Wow, there's a lot of fucking people here, dude. Page is huge.
Jake Busey will be here talking about his crazy-ass dad.
Davy Jones?
No.
Davy fucking Jones.
Does it say from the Monkees?
Says the Monkees. No, it's like Davy Jones from Davy Jones' locker. What other fucking Davy
Mark
Jones
Goddard,
is there?
I've never seen him there before.
Oh, this is his final Chiller
appearance. I've seen him sashaying on the dance floor. Have you?
No,
I've seen
him walking around, though.
Yeah.
He looks good for his age, man.
Darian Kane made the front page.
Awesome.
Tiffany Shepard's
going to be there. What films are attributed to her?
Lust for Dracula and Curse of the Wolf. I never heard of either one of them. The regular crew.
The regulars.
Sarah Karloff.
Frankenstein.
Musical guests.
What are musical guests?
Bruce Kulick from Kiss.
Nice.
Meatloaf Grand Funk Railroad. Really?
Dio.
The Dead Alvi, Mr. Jim.
ABBA. ABBA reunion.
Franche Coma.
Stop. It's an ABBA reunion.
And Pink Floyd.
Stop.
They dug up Rick Wright.
That's terrible. When is the Chiller Theater?
Peter Frampton.
I fucking told you already. October 30th through November 1st.
Where?
I gotta go back to the page.
You guys out there listening could go to chillertheater.com. That's chiller, spelled chiller, theater, theatre.
.com.
And check this out.
It's at the Parsippany Hilton.
Oh, very nice.
Yours truly will be there, be outside on my knees with a can, hoping to give me some contributions in exchange for a pencil.
John and I, we're due to go back, like,
we haven't been there in a long time.
You still go, Dwayne?
I haven't been to the last two. They were just really, really crowded, and it was hard to get into the celebrity tent. And right. I just have a very low threshold for waiting.
Right.
But I've always had a wonderful time. I used to hang out with Joe Fleischaker, who used to be in the Troma films. Do you remember Joe?
Yeah, sure.
You know him? Is he still alive?
I don't know. No, I didn't even know he was alive to begin with. Never heard of him.
Oh. Yeah, I believe he's still alive.
He was also in A Stranger Among Us.
Okay.
The Hasidic Jew murder mystery film.
You guys know that fucking Mickey Rooney is probably going to live to be 100 and something.
Here we go.
He is already, isn't he?
He must be.
How many women did he have sex with, Eclan?
Why does Mickey Rooney make you angry? Like, just saying his name. Why? What reason?
I don't like the guy.
Did you
because he had sex with Ava Gardner.
He's mickified.
He's annoying.
Did you work with him?
No. You know all those Christmas fucking shows?
Yeah.
You know, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer? He plays Santa Claus in one of them. And you could tell it's him, and I just instantly get annoyed. I'm like, I fucking hate Mickey Rooney.
He plays a good Santa Claus.
No, he doesn't.
Yes, he does.
He plays a caricature. He probably thinks he's the best. You know why I hate him? He probably thinks he's the best fucking animated Santa Claus ever. And he isn't.
Why don't you go?
And the Santa Claus says, "I fucked Ava Gardner."
Yeah.
Why don't you go to Chiller Theater and like knock his lights out?
I would like to. I don't hit old people though.
Probably could take you.
He probably could, and that's what makes me mad too. I'd be like, "Mickey Rooney, fuck you," and he beat me up, and I'd be like, "I still fucking hate you. I hate you that much more now."
Have you ever seen the really, really old school Mickey Rooney movies?
It's like Andy
times
Hardy.
Are tough. There's a depression. Let's do a show.
Yeah, Andy Hardy.
He's like a young boy.
Yeah, he's like 12.
He fucked Judy Gardner too, or what's
Judy
her name?
Garland?
Judy Gardner. Judy Gardner.
He probably fucked her too. Judy Garland.
Judy Garland. Judy Gardner and Judy Garland.
She fucked Judy Garland in the garden, there, with Ava.
You know what else is in the news? Tell you who was in the news.
All right, don't piss me off, though.
No. AJ Khan's in the news, and I will tell you why.
Oh, yes.
It seems that AJ Khan is like everything's just taken off.
Good.
Skyrocketing.
We got AJ Khan. Also, I see on the web also as Anjou. A-N-J-U.
Anjou.
Anjou.
Or Anjou if you're eating roast beef.
Well, she is one of the stars of VH1's My Antonio.
I watched it. I think she's off already, though.
You've seen it.
She was the first one to get canned.
Was she really?
She was the first one to go.
Oh, that's a shame. I would have definitely kept her.
She was,
because I was watching, there was like five girls left, and one of them was cross-eyed or something. And I was like, and AJ's gone. Give me a fucking break.
And Mickey Rooney made a special guest appearance.
Yeah, he fucked Antonio Sabato Jr., goddammit.
He had a wig on. He goes, Antonio!
You want some really old pussy?
AJ is
check
in
it out.
The October 2009 Penthouse magazine.
Yes, I saw the spread.
Is she really?
And I do mean spread.
Is she? You know who else is in that?
Ooh, la,
going
la.
To be in it?
Oh.
Sabrina Fair, remember her?
Yeah.
Which issue?
Natasha Nielsen. She just told me.
Same issue?
Good Kinky Kong.
Yes. Well,
which issue?
She doesn't know, but she was shot about a month ago, and she said it's... To be announced.
Did they really brush her woo-woo with the vegetable oil?
I don't know, but I'll get back to you on that.
Could you?
Want to call on the cell phone right now?
No. Penthouse uses vegetable oil to make the woo-woo glisten.
I heard that. That's a rumor. That's an urban legend.
No, it's true.
Is it?
Oh. Because do you remember the company in California, Full Moon?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Studios?
No, yes. Yeah.
When I was working for Film Fatale magazine as a photographer, I got invited to one of their sets. And there was one of the junior Guccione's with a bottle of oil and a swab. And I personally witnessed him doing...
Swabbing the deck.
Swabbing the deck. Thank you.
To make a pussy glisten?
Pussy glisten. In fact, that was the phrase. It was called a PG.
Yes.
No kidding. I did not know that.
And so the girls just let him do it. They were like, okay.
Yeah.
Well, kind of swabbing it up.
So, Jim, what have you been doing the last couple of years? I've been... glistening a few pussies, you know.
I've been a pussy glisten wrangler.
I'm a pussy glistener.
I think it's very exciting that she's in Penthouse magazine.
I think it's exciting that you can glisten a pussy as a job. It's great.
Of course, Anjou worked with us last in a star capacity for a film called SSI, which he co-starred with John.
Yeah, we had a great time.
Not John, the guy who wrote the letter.
Who?
You.
Me.
John Fedeli.
What?
SSI.
Yes.
We actually flew you guys to England.
Yes, you did. Coach.
And it was released in 2007 and went into Blockbuster.
Yep.
If you're going to your local Blockbuster, and I do, there are the two of you on the box.
Yep.
That's true. You saw it, Dwayne?
Yep.
You shot the box.
I shot the box.
We had a great time. We actually spent the day together in Manchester, England, just shopping and hanging
you
out.
You and Anjou.
Yep. We had this very, very lovely day.
Did her pussy glisten?
I didn't X. I could X her, though. I'll get back to you.
Do that.
No, she's really one of my favorite people from Seduction Cinema.
And I would say that SSI is top five best Seduction Cinema films ever.
You think so?
I think it's a spectacular film.
I've not seen it.
I gave you a copy.
Did you?
You shot the box cover.
No, you didn't give me a copy of the film, though.
Sure I did.
Looks like Dwayne has another movie to go home with.
What's the first one you're going home with?
I forget.
I don't know.
So congratulations to Anjou.
Yes.
Things are doing. Looks like things are happening here, and thrilled.
Where's Scooper's Boogie Boy? Sounds like you need a little persuading.
Ow! New releases?
Yeah.
Want to talk about? Want to talk about new releases?
Let's
talk about. Let's talk about new releases. new releases. 70s porn. Gotta really love it. You can't see their pussy, so you don't know if they glisten.
X-Men Wolverine.
Let's start with the filthy stuff.
Mickey Rooney's anus.
Do you have a promo for something called Hitler's Harlots?
Yes, I do.
Let's see what that sounds
like. I only glanced over it, but how could you fucking forget that once you even see it? Here it is.
42nd Street Pete's Hitler's Harlot Collection. Over 3 hours of shocking vintage Nazi exploitation. This special edition DVD features the 1970s grindhouse roughy Hitler's Harlot, a total sex and violence sleaze fest. Plus, retro 8mm roughy loops featuring Nazis doing the nasty.
Oh my god.
42nd Street Pete's Hitler's Harlot Collection from After Hours Cinema.
Oh my god.
It's the DVD Hitler doesn't want you to see.
You could so never make that stuff
it's
now.
It's called Nazi exploitation.
We can't even see it. We're just
it's
listening to
craziest
it.
Craziest stuff.
It's insane.
Nazi exploitation.
There's this brilliant photographer on Model Mayhem called Robert Alvarado, and he did these pinup pictures of girls wearing, you know, Nazi regalia, and kind of like the stuff you would see in the cover of those movies. And he got torn a new asshole for doing it.
What? People in, like, groups and stuff?
Yeah, that were totally offended by it. And don't – I mean, if you're offended by that, I don't think you'd want to buy this stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I look at it and laugh. And I think most of the fans of this type of stuff look at it and laugh.
Because it's
so
far removed, it's almost cartoonish.
It's crazy. And, of course, you know, we have our editors involved with it. And so, you know, Hitler's actually in it at some point. You know,
wow.
The opening. You know, the beginning part of that promo, you heard Hitler.
Yeah.
Is he having sex with
no.
Is it the real Hitler?
Yeah, it's the real Hitler.
Wow.
Oh, it was like stock footage of Hitler in
there? Yeah. So I guess would say this is an offensive release. But I mean, it's released from a very campy perspective.
A place of love.
The DVD has a poster.
Of Hitler?
No. Well, actually, the box art is 42nd Street Pete's, a cartoon box art. 42nd Street Pete as an Allied spy. He has the American flag. He's the good guy.
Right.
And he's got a Nazi chick. Like, he's got her, taking her away.
Right.
And then behind him on a podium is Hitler pointing at him.
Oh.
Like, catching him.
Yeah.
And inside is a poster, a mini poster. And on the back of the poster is our liner notes. I don't want to say, I mean, good, clean. I can't describe this as good, clean fun, can I, Jim?
No. Absolutely no. But you know what? It's 42nd Street Pete, so of course it's not good, clean fun.
Isn't there a fetish with Nazi women?
I'm sure. Nazi exploitation.
Yeah.
Not it's a you know.
This stuff is old though. This is like 70s, isn't it?
70s. Yeah. It's not like, you know.
Oh, so it's okay.
Well, back then I don't think people, you know, would have protested.
Probably more offensive back then.
People never thought it would see the light of day.
Yeah.
To this extent, over the internet and on DVDs.
I mean, people split hairs about anything now, and back then I don't think they did. They probably didn't even know it existed.
Hey, is it possible to have a fucking heart attack from being so goddamn hungry? Because I don't feel so good.
We're almost done.
Okay.
All right, so that was After Hours. No,
ladies and gentlemen, that was Hitler. Hitler.
It was on the After Hours label. It comes out October 13th. AlternativeCinema.com, AfterHoursCinema.com. You know, 42nd Street Pete has a podcast. If you go to 42ndStreetPete.com, Saturday night, there's a link on his .com. You click it. Saturday night, 9 o'clock Central, 10 o'clock Eastern. 42P Grindhouse Memories.
He does it live.
I think he does it live, yeah.
Wow.
Can you
we could never fucking do that.
He cut a little promo.
Yeah.
He cut a little promo for AC. Can you play it?
Sure. Here it is.
Hey, you. With the bag. Come here. On 42nd Street Pete. What do you got in there? That cheap porn? This multi-hour crap? Brother, you need to go to AlternativeCinema.com for all your grindhouse needs. You can get Shockorama titles for your horror fix. You can get Seduction Cinema if you like Misty Monday, Rube of the Rocket, Darien Cain, and others. You can go to the Secret Key Motion Pictures for your TNA. Then you can go to After Hours Cinema for the films of Joe Sarno, Sean Costello, Nick Phillips, Phil Prince, and the 42nd Street Pete line of 8mm Madness. Plus Blue Underground, Synapse, Halo, and other fine grindhouse titles only at AlternativeCinema.com. Act now and get free shipping in the U.S. and reduced shipping to Canada. That's at AlternativeCinema.com. Tell them 42P sent you.
I didn't realize that Pete has such a New York accent until he did that spot.
Yeah, Luby LaRocca.
He sounds like, remember Dan Aykroyd used to do that skit on SNL? He was like a public access.
No.
He talked like this.
No.
Public access.
Yeah.
He's a strip club owner,
get
too.
Get you, Ruby LaRocca.
I remember.
He's a prince among porn purveyors.
He's a 42nd Street prince.
42P, yo, up in the house up in here.
In October, our retro seduction releases. Can you play a promo for something called the Love Statue?
Love Statue!
He promised me you'll always look just the way you do right now.
The Love Statue. The shocking film that introduced the nation to LSD is available for the first time on DVD.
What did you call it?
LSD.
An exotic, mysterious woman. A living, erotic statue. A vicious and inscrutable murder. An outrageous and trippy look at the drug-fueled sex parties of the 1960s New York Greenwich Village. Directed by David Durston, the genius behind cult classic I Drink Your Blood.
Really?
Starring Gigi Darlene of Bad Girls Go to Hell as the Love Statue. The Collector's Edition Love Statue LSD Experience release contains the feature film The Love Statue.
Yeah,
interview with director David Durston.
Got ahead of him.
I was a faster runner than Harvey.
Commentary with director David Durston and film historian Michael Bowen. Interview with star Peter Petre. Collectible booklet featuring historical liner notes, retro trailer vault, as well as two notorious LSD scare films.
I couldn't see anything except colors, and I thought, well, you know, this is supposed to be reality, but it wasn't. It wasn't anything except just things that weren't objects.
Turn on with the Love Statue LSD Experience DVD. Available now.
Can you do that voice?
I certainly can. If the first 5 callers get a free sample of Blotter.
Yeah, that would be a good promo, wouldn't it?
This is a David Durston film. He did I Drink Your Blood. And like it's a you know, by all standards of the mid-60s, it was a low-budget film, but it was a real movie. So he had all the film, you were asking, all the film, I'm sorry, all the music.
Was copyrighted. Was,
well, I don't understand what you mean. Like
he bought the rights to the music. Okay.
Yes. Yes, the music was of its time. So, I mean, the only time we run into issues with music are these fly-by-night movies.
I got you.
One Day Wonders, who use the Doors.
The Hitler music is okay, though.
Yes.
Oddly enough.
You're just looking, what, for more work?
No, I'm looking for less work.
Okay. John is one of our editors here.
I'm tripping, man.
Tripping on that?
I'm tripping, man.
It's supposed to be reality, but all I'm seeing is Mickey Rooney's asshole.
Fucker.
Enough. I'm tripping, man.
That would be the worst trip ever.
That comes out on October 13th. Also on October 13th is Skin in the 70s.
Yes.
What's that?
You have
about?
A promo for that?
Sure.
Ooh, la la. I'm tripping, man.
Yeah? So what happened?
Dead side.
Where are you guys headed?
We're just bumming around, too. Hop in.
Bumming around.
Take a wild summer road trip with the Skin in the 70s.
Who's this guy?
Grindhouse Collection. Over 5 hours
is this
of
in Nashville? Hitchhiking.
Risky road trips. Hot substitute teachers and sleazy summer romance. This 4-feature collection has it all. Blue Summer. When the vans are rockin', don't come a-knockin'.
Aw, oh, come on, you actually said
join
that.
Join Tracy and Gene on a far-out summer road trip in Blue Summer. Summer school teachers. High school was never this much fun. Learn the bare facts from the experts in Summer School Teachers. Sometimes Sweet Susan.
Harry Reams is in that.
Check out this therapy session. Harry Reams plays doctor with Sean Harris in Sometimes Sweet Susan.
Rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grub. Yay, God.
Teenage divorce. Can't make it to the beach? Then heat up over at Josie's Castle, where everybody's getting it on. Teenage divorce. The Skin in the 70s Grindhouse Collection. Can you dig it?
Dig it, man.
That's crazy shit.
Groovy.
Well, so, John, what? Like, you like you need, like, serious lunch. You like
I'm fucking
you
hungry.
You just expired. Like, John is expired.
I just shut down, man.
He did. He's just, like, staring blankly at the at his file that he was just playing. Like, he's looking to see, oh, God, it's going to be over soon.
Yeah, I was gauging the end of that. I just ate a finger.
Skin in the 70s is a 4-film collection on DVD.
It sounds great.
It's yeah, groovy.
It's a lot of fun. It is definitely groovy. One has Harry Reams in it.
Four disc?
Four films.
Oh, 4 films.
It's probably 4 films on 2 discs with a collectible booklet featuring liner notes.
Who's doing the liner notes?
The After Hours Collector.
Who's that?
Secret.
Secret.
Hey, little girl, you want to stay after class and look at my chalk?
Well, that sounds like a fantastic
That's all I got.
Compilation. That's it for new releases?
That's it.
I think this broke my fucking iTunes.
Well.
That's all I got. That's all I got.
Well, that was a lot.
I want some feedback. I mean, gosh, darn it. If someone would send customer service at alternativecinema.com, that's our email address. What do you think of that email address?
What do I think it is?
Yeah. What do you think of it, if you want to write a letter?
It's customer service.
I think it to the point.
Okay.
It isn't free taco ham.
If you go to alternativecinema.com, go to the bottom of the page. There's a link there to send an email. Send us an email. We're on the Facebook.
I'm also the customer service rep, so I'll be answering the phone, so be gentle.
I'm on the Facebook. Hey, you know, if you friend me on the Facebook personally, please just write me a note. Because I don't know. Well, John doesn't have these problems. He's not on the Facebook.
I'm not into it. Nope.
Are you on the Facebook?
I'm on the Facebook big time.
People send me these friend requests. I don't even know who these people are.
Who are these folks?
I wish they would just send a note.
Who are these faces?
Get a life,
I
face.
I wish they would just send a note.
They don't send a note? They're just like, be my friend?
Be my friend. And usually, you've got to hear their yammering. You know, because they treat Facebook like Twitter. They use it as Twitter.
Really?
God.
Usually, if it's an attractive woman, I'll soil myself.
Who the fuck has time for all this bullshit?
Well,
attractive women.
I have to promote. Apparently. I have to promote films.
I understand that, but it's like people just get on this and fucking blab all day.
You Twitter,
nothing?
John? You're Twitter?
No.
You should. Shit, my dad says.
I look at that guy's blog because that's funny.
If you go to listen, if you want the most exciting thing next to my film photography, go to twitter.com, sign in. And then type in search shit my dad says.
It's great.
Which we're gonna fill Dwayne in offline.
It's brilliant.
We'll talk about it next podcast.
It's one of my windows on my fucking thing over here.
It's very funny stuff. But anyhow, that's all I have. Now, I know you want to go to lunch.
Yes.
So. Look,
here, you want to end with one of the phrases, one yes. of the sayings from Shit My Dad Says?
Absolutely.
Let's see. There's a bunch of them. All right, here we go. I think the baby's shit. Well, I'm smelling shit right now, so if it ain't the baby, one of you has a big fucking problem.
This is a guy. His name is Justin. He writes things down, his dad says. He lives with a 73-year-old dad. He's 28 or something. Stuff his dad says, he writes down and Twitters it. Hey, what else you got?
It says, no, you cannot borrow my T-shirt. How about instead of standing there looking shocked, you do your fucking laundry?
So he just Twitters stuff his dad says.
Old man just running around saying shit like
that. Got another one for him?
Yeah, okay. How about the Radio Shack one?
Oh.
Fucking Radio Shack. It's a wonder they even know how to use the bathroom and don't just walk around all day with shit in their pants.
The things he say are
He's
very
abrasive.
Universal. Awesome. I mean, you could apply it. You know, I mean, you could...
Let me read this one.
Oh, now Dwayne's putting his glasses on.
Here's the newest one, okay? Go ahead. You're going to run into jerk-offs. But remember, it's not the size of the asshole you worry about. It's how much shit comes out of it. It's not the size of the asshole you worry about. It's how much shit comes out of it.
I wouldn't worry about money. No, it has a lot to do with happiness. I just mean you shouldn't worry because you just piss it away.
He's like, I just meant you shouldn't worry.
So when I discovered Shit My Dad Says,
funny.
There were 130,000 followers on Twitter.
Oh, my God. You want to know how many there are at this instant? 377,353.
It's viral. Like, it's just people discover it and then just tell all their friends about it.
So now this guy's famous and he's getting more pussy than me, probably.
Yeah, you sent me a letter that said he's getting a book or something.
Yeah, I sent you an article.
An article. What did I say?
A letter.
Oh.
He apparently has a book deal. Apparently, he's been writing these things down for a very long time. So he's going to get a book deal. One of these days, you're going to see him on, like, the Letterman or the Conan.
Conan.
Yeah.
Or the Oprah.
I doubt you'll see him on the Oprah.
Here, but Mike, these are words you should heed.
What?
Anytime someone sells you food in a sack, it's not a sack of food. It's a sack of shit.
What's the common theme from phrase to phrase?
Shit. He likes the word shit.
Well, I hope everyone enjoyed our October 2009 podcast. It's been an absolute pleasure. Dwayne, this was your first podcast ever?
This is my first I popped my podcast cherry today.
It's fun,
is
right?
Is that what that was I stepped in?
Ugh. You loved it.
John?
You saved it.
Yeah?
Thank you.
What?
Thank you.
Fuck me? What'd you say?
Thanks.
Huh? Oh, thank you.
What do you want next time? I'll bring it.
Food.
What? Like, what do you, chips?
No, that's too crunchy. It's rude.
You want something from the health food store?
Something soft.
Soft.
So that when I eat it, it's not like, I don't know, brownies or something?
Something warm and delicious.
How about those little pop-ums?
Pop-ums. Oh, pop-ums. From where? From Dunkin' Donuts?
Dunkin' Donuts. What do you call them? Munchkins or
Munchkins.
Something?
Munchkins.
Yeah.
How about some Pez?
Too crunchy.
Pop-ums are the Entenmann's brand.
Oh, right.
Okay, very good.
Those things are caustic.
Are Entenmann's nationwide?
Yes, I believe so. I don't know for sure.
You read the side of that, like one fucking chocolate donut has like... I don't know, 80 grams of fat. It's ridiculous.
Trans fat.
They're so bad.
No trans fat. So
800 grams of trans fat.
We're going to Mr. Lee's.
There's a warning on the side of the box. Isn't if you eat these, you'll die.
My aunt is 200 grams of trans fat.
Okay.
She's
well,
a transvestite.
We got to go.
Okay.
You want to go eat lunch, right?
Oh, dude.
So
what are we eating?
Mr. Lee.
Oh, okay.
Chinese?
Oh, no, Japanese.
Oh, Japanese.
Oh, Japanese.
Nice. Very good. Then we can go to Sound Exchange.
They have strippers there?
No.
Strippers.
So, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for you folks listening. You know, I was a little more ranty this time, but
yes.
You know, we got
very unfocused.
Very unfocused, all over the map.
The worst thing you can be is a liar. Okay, fine. Yes, the worst thing you can be is a Nazi. But then, number two is liar. Nazi one, liar two.
It's a starving reflection if he dies in the night. Listening to the increase, it cuts out your likeness in blood circulation, suspended beneath the release. A low volume force field, lower than pity, slips across under the heart.
And your hostage rewinding from every eclipse rose in the voltage, runoff rain on his lips. We chew up the blackness, the soul I sleep, travel the faster silence. Far away in a cold sanctuary, pain sonics eternities all through the moons. A first communication tears loose undelivered and swims unassigned in your dimmed latitudes, and the heat from the shore melts down to receive us. Bloodlit foreheads howl open, and so nearly blessed as they soften round dark jaws of unfinished strangers rubbed out on a point after burning.